This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
For a fantasy squad that felt pretty straightforward heading into this past season, the Cleveland Cavaliers were kind of all over the place. Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a Sports Ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Brewski, and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Dr. A. Alexander. Today we're covering a fantasy squad that had distinct positional roles and a lot of pop that made the core group pretty expensive on draft day. But before we get into that, I do want to ask you guys, if you're supporters of the show, to please consider subscribing on all of your favorite platforms. Hit those like buttons, hit us with the 5-star reviews, and all this helps us support the cause. Social accounts that you guys need to know other than at Aaron Brewski, at Dr. A, DocTorAaronBrewski would be Ethos Fantasy NBA, Ethos Fantasy NFL, and Ethos Fantasy BB, so you can stay aware of all the promo stuff that's going to be going on in the next couple of weeks, including deals on the NFL Draft Guide, which is right around the corner, and let us know how we're doing and what we can be doing better. And if you have any ideas for the show, that would be great. So with all that out of the way, let me welcome in Steve, Dr. A. Alexander. This squad kind of irritated me in the mildest of ways. So I want to flip this and ask you, which was your favorite Cleveland Cavaliers player last season?
I think it was late season, Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
That was promising. I think he's better than we think he is. I thought the team overachieved for having Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell in your backcourt with a guy named Max Strus at small forward. I mean, it's just kind of shaky. Mobley was hurt all year. Not all year, but for a chunk of it. And Jared Allen's a good player. He's kind of an undervalued fantasy center.
Yeah. This team's really, it's weird. It's boring, but it's interesting. And speaking of boring, but interesting, BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Get every stat, matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. And then when the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack, poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots. Head to the website today, get on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BLEAV. BetOnline, the game starts here. Boring, but interesting. I think that this team, right, like it begins and ends with Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell is, I don't know, what would you say your percent odds that Donovan Mitchell remains in Cleveland after, say, you know, whatever, one or two seasons?
40%?
That's kind of what I had. Like, not as good as a coin flip.
Yeah, I mean, I think he puts in another year or two there, and he's done. Unless they want to keep him and build everything around him, which maybe they do. We don't know yet. But as of right now, I would think after 2 years, it'll be time for both parties to move ahead.
Yeah, I think Donovan Mitchell kind of dodges and might even be one of the bigger load management guys in the NBA. 55 games this past season, finished with a 28 rank and 9 cat. Very expensive on draft day, you know, late first round pick. Great when on the floor, 35 minutes a game, 26.6 points, over 3 triples, 5 boards, 6 assists. I mean, the numbers just beautiful numbers. 1.8 steals, 0.5 blocks, 46% from the field, 86% from the line. Great volume for those great percentages there. I mean, he just, to me, feels like a guy that's looking at, like, I want to get not just my next contract, but the one after that, and just constantly not on the floor. Is that your feel with him, or am I just on wearing that tinfoil hat again?
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like Jimmy Butler. I don't know how much it has to do with deals and how much it has to do with money, but I mean, I just feel like Darius or Donovan Mitchell is going to miss time every year if you draft him. And it's just, he should come built into his price, the missed games.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I mean, it's a really interesting proposition. I don't think he was poised to go get him in the late first round. And you're like, okay, what if this guy did really well, really well? He could be a top five guy. Maybe. I mean, these numbers are really, really poppy. To get into the top five or to jump that tier of you know, the back end of the first round guys and get up higher than that, I guess with these numbers you can, but there's just so many great fantasy players that it's hard to climb that high. But if he's not going to do that, and you're talking about all this risk, where is he appropriately drafted?
I mean, he's still a second round fantasy pick.
Front end of the second round.
But I think he's not for everybody. Like, I'm probably not going to pick Darius Garland. I'm not going to draft Donovan Mitchell because I know his missed games history. But, I mean, the appropriate place for him to go based on what he does, he fills it up, man. He's a second round guy. Just in case he plays 72 games.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's these players that end up into these positions are so interesting. There's probably a good amount of analysis that can be done just on this group of players who have late first round potential and tons of red flags. Cause it feels like we get about 5, 10, 15 of them every season that you're kind of just rolling the dice with, and maybe there's a better strategy to fashion around that. I'm going to assume, I think, for the purposes of this review show, because we look back, but we also look forward with these things, is that these guys kind of stay mostly the same, though. I mean, Darius Garland's agent's kind of out there banging the drum. Like, you know, his value went really, really through the ground. Like, he's in the playoffs, can barely make a shot. I always had questions about, like, locker room stability when you have a guy like Donovan Mitchell who appears to have one foot out the door and what that might do to guys. But like, as Garland was struggling in the playoffs, Mitchell and he looked like they were pretty close. Like, there wasn't a lot of acrimony, so we didn't see any of that. But at the same time, you're Darius Garland's agent and you're watching him have probably his worst season to date given expectations and what people know he can do. 57 games just outside of the top 140 for those 57 games. 18 points, really low kind of rebounds, 2.7, 6.5 assists, you know, 1.3 steals. Percentages were decent, but it just never really felt like it was happening for him. If Mitchell leaves, I think he's going to be a pretty sought-after fantasy asset, but is this going to be the case that he's going to be undervalued no matter what heading into next season?
You know, I don't know. And part of me thinks that Darius Garland is what we've seen. Like, that's him. That's as good as it's going to get. It's not going to get any better. But then another part of me thinks, well, if Donovan Mitchell's not there, does Garland go berserk and take over? I don't know, but I'm probably not targeting Darius Garland on my teams. I'm probably going to let somebody else do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. There was, you know, a lot of pop to his fantasy game prior to Donovan Mitchell, and it just felt like he could control the game even with his play in the pick and roll. So that is tantalizing stuff. I don't think a midseason trade seems very likely for Donovan Mitchell, and of course, if the Cavs move him somehow this season, then there's more meat to the bone for the next team to work with. Donovan Mitchell having that player option the following season really puts him in the driver's seat with, you know, some flexibility in how his team shakes everybody down in the rest of the NBA. Similarly, Evan Mobley, you know, playing kind of behind Jared Allen in a way. You know, Jared Allen, you know, he's not going to do anything but play center. So Mobley, with his positional flexibility, he can play four,
next to Jared Allen. And to me, that's been a real limiting factor in his fantasy game. He finished with a top 115 rating in 9 cat on 50 games. So more or less on pace to do what he was expected to do this season. A top 40 per game value. He was being drafted in the third round. Pretty strong. Probably gets to that ADP if he stays relatively healthy. Then he gets back in the playoffs. We saw some really big moments for him. So do you think the market's going to cool on Evan Mobley after the injury and maybe not the ROI folks were looking for?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. I like what he did the second half of the season. You know, post All-Star break, he was 15.6 points, a steal, 1.5 blocks, 8 boards. Pretty good numbers. And is Mobley going to break out next year? Are we going to finally see? I mean, I think we saw glimpses of it late this season. Gives me hope that he can break out next year. But I think based on his numbers and games played, I mean, I don't think you're going to have to reach too far ahead or do something dumb to get your hands on Mobley.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think that's a lot depends on what Cleveland does here. I mean, to me, you can kind of reset and restock. If you were to move on from Jared Allen and move on from Donovan Mitchell and sort of center your team around Evan Mobley and Darius Garland. So if they did that, we'll obviously hear about it. And, you know, then the valuations for everybody will change. But if they don't, for whatever reason. And remember, we got Dan Gilbert running the show here, so he loves to inject himself into the discussion and could, you know, easily maybe try to keep this thing together, even if the writing is on the wall with it all. So that would change things. But, you know, as long as Jared Allen's around, and Jared Allen might be the headline of this team for this season. And I'll just, you know, full disclosure, I was not a Jared Allen guy heading into drafts last season. I thought I saw a reduction of mobility. I thought, you know, Mobley would kind of squeeze him out a little bit. And lo and behold, Jared Allen plays 77 games, gets a lot of time without Mobley on the floor. And things really picked up for him at that point in time as well. But finishes in the top 30, 16 points, 10 boards, a block, you know, almost a steal a game, 0.7 steals per game. Typical Jared Allen numbers, and not bad from the foul line, 74.2% from the foul line, and doing that on 4 free throws per game. So this was a great season for him, and it sounds like you saw it coming.
Oh, I don't know if I saw it coming or not, but I mean, I just feel like the last few years he's been really solid. Kind of know what you're going to get. He had a career high in points this last season with 16.5. But the blocks were same as they are every year. Steals, same as they are every year. Everything was kind of the same. Points scoring was just slightly up, but, he's a solid solid early mid-round center, I think.
Yeah, and then I think he might even went a little bit later in certain drafts because he got injured right before the season started. So, you know, folks were picking up 3-4 different rounds of value there. I guess going forward, do you see Jared Allen in the same way? I know I personally probably will tap the brakes at least a little bit on lack of mobility issues, but you know, do you see him just sort of trucking the same way he did this last season?
Yeah. 16 points, 10 boards, a block. I mean, that's what he's going to do. I don't see why anything would change. His last 3 seasons have been, incredibly consistent. So, yeah, I think that's what he's going to do.
Boring but interesting, this Cleveland Cavaliers squad. Max Strus, I would say he trended more toward interesting this past season. I started calling him Magic Strus for a little bit there. And the Strus has been loose here at Sports Ethos for years. In fact, this last year was the year I jumped off the Strus bandwagon to some degree because his knee issues looked really, really kind of limiting there for a bit, and then he gets into Cleveland after the big deal, and I kind of thought, hey man, maybe these guys paid at the wrong time, you know, at the peak of Max Strus's career, And he just went out there and took control of being this pretty savvy connector, willing to take and make big shots, had a number of big shots in the season, and then really caught fire in fantasy leagues early on. Finished, though, with just a 110 rating and 9-cat, and I think this was kind of where I was definitely not on the Max Strus train in fantasy leagues, is there's certain holes in his fantasy game. Defense is one of them, just 1.3 combined steals and blocks, 41% from the field, 41.8% from the field. So you're getting a few limiting factors there. But how do you see Max Strus this past season, and then what do you think of him heading forward?
You know, guys like Kyle Korver, Garrison Matthews, Tyler Hero, like it's these 3-point specialists, KCP in Denver. Like Strus is entertaining and he's going to have a big game every once in a while, but the bottom line is he's out there to shoot threes, and that's really all he's going to do. So, you know, at the end of the season, maybe when you add everything up, yeah, he was maybe worth having around, but it's a rough ride, man. You're going to have those 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-point nights. No fun.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, this team is, I mean, it was really interesting because it felt like they were one of the most easiest teams to read heading into last season. And it's because you do have the presence of guys like Strus. Caris LeVert's another one. Caris LeVert played 29 minutes per game, finished with a 115 9-cat totals rating. And that actually, to me, was pretty good. And it did take a couple of things opening up for LeVert to really ensure that he was going to get that big minute total. And he only played 68 games in true Caris LeVert fashion. But the percentages aren't good. The overall numbers aren't, you know, jumping off the page. Yeah, the steals are good, 1.1. Yeah, their 0.5 blocks are good. But, like, combining that with 1.6 trays, I mean, you're just over that 3 mark that we're always targeting. So 3.2 combined stats in those cash-counting categories, just not really a threat to climb up the ranks, but definitely a threat to take the ball out of other players' hands. Caris LeVert, is there anything to add to the Caris LeVert discussion that I didn't hit there?
He's a guy that you want to use in DFS when you know he's going to play. And you can plug him in and for a cheap salary, and he'll get you a bunch of good stuff. You don't really want to plug him in to your regular, 12-team fantasy lineup, because he's going to have two good games and then four bad ones. So it's very inconsistent, unreliable.
Yeah, and it's funny because this is going to be a quick show, folks. Like, I'm going to ask Doc one bigger question, but there's just not a lot to talk about here with this squad. Looking down roster, Isaac Okoro, he's gotten a ton of minutes already in his young career and never done anything valuable in fantasy leagues with them. Georges Niang, same thing, not a threat to do anything in fantasy leagues. Dean Wade, not a threat to do anything in fantasy leagues. Kind of looking at Sam Merrill and thinking, maybe if he got cut loose one day. I mean, he hit over 2 threes a game in 17 and a half minutes, so maybe there's something there from that perspective. But there's really just not a lot going on for this fantasy squad beyond the top guys. So I'm going to spin this. We're going to get out of this preview or probably review real quick. Donovan Mitchell, can he make a team like, I don't know, he's always linked to the Knicks, but like the Heat? They definitely need to restock there. We talked about the Magic the other day. Could he, if some team took a big swing, can he make them a title contender?
What if he was starting for Dallas instead of Derrick Jones Jr.?
Why you got to do that?
I mean, that's interesting, right? I think Mitchell... I don't think Mitchell's, he's not a bad defensive player either. He's not great. He's not known for his defense, but he's probably better than Luka. I know that's not saying.
I was going to say, that's twice now.
He was hurt, people. He was injected. He shouldn't have even been playing.
Hit him with a horse trank.
Yeah, I think that Donovan Mitchell can win an NBA championship. Yes.
As a number one guy or as a number two guy?
No, he's going to have to be, well, I don't think he'll win a championship if he's number one. I think he has to be number two.
Sometimes he plays like a number one, though. Like sometimes in the playoffs when he just gets nuclear hot, that's when you look and you go, okay, I don't think anybody can stop this guy. And yeah, maybe he could be the guy, but he'd need a lot of help. If he was the number one, there's something about consistency on defense because he can, I think sometimes he will lock up a guy and you just think, man, why can't you do that every single play? And I don't know if it's an effort thing with him. I think maybe it's just a consistency of concentration and maybe just thinking about the offensive side of the ball too much. I don't know. That's going to do it for this Cleveland episode. We knew this one was going to be quick because there's just not a lot of guys to talk about here. On Monday, we're going to talk about the New Orleans Pelicans. I think we'll have a lot more to talk about there. So keep an eye out for that. If you enjoy the show and support what we're doing over here at Sports Ethos, please consider subscribing to the show on all of your platforms. Like, review, give us all that feedback so we can keep improving the show. And if you're not a premium member, you're going to definitely want to lock that lifetime rate in while these numbers are crazy low. So keep an eye out for some promos coming very soon. Hit us up on Twitter at Dr. A, at Aaron Brewski, at Ethos Fantasy NBA. That's DOCKTORA and AARONBRUSKI. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.
You know, when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks, that's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.